So welcome everyone to the bonus teleseminar for students of the Warm Email Prospecting Program here at International Freelancers Academy. Today the call is on seven proven ways to land work from current and past clients using warm emails. Before we get started, I'll cover a couple quick housekeeping items. If you've just joined us, go ahead and make sure you've downloaded or printed, saved the handout for today's call. That, you can access that handout by the links on the page that we directed you to connect to this call. Either in the left-hand column, you'll see a bonus TS download, or in the blue text in the center of your page. If you, for some reason, have problems there, it is available at the program site, at the training site where you've been accessing all the modules, under the bonus section and coaching calls. Don't panic though if you don't have it in front of you. You can grab it after the call, and really it's just intended to help save you some notes while you're on the call, so you don't have to scribble away. So this call will be available right after the call's over. So you can go back and listen to it again as soon as we're done. You can access it from the bonus section at the training center, under coaching calls. The transcript should be available by the end of next week. As soon as it's available, I'll post it there under the coaching call section. So for today's call, everyone is muted, and when we reach the Q&A portion of the call, I'll explain then how you can submit questions or ask them if you're connecting to us by phone. So with all of that out of the way, I'd like to turn the call now over to our host, Ed Gandia.
Thanks, Crystal, and hey, thanks for everyone for attending today. I'm sorry, I was late. It's one of these, time zone things. We've had a lot of calls in January, and it's just we've had to change some of the times because of different guests and schedules. And you know, this is what I get, because yesterday I was on a conference call with a client, and there were several of us dialing in from different parts of the country. And someone didn't get the time right, and they were 15 minutes late, and I made fun of her. And this is what I get for making fun of her. Now it happened to me. So I apologize, but we're going to have a full session, so I'm going to dive right into the material because we got a lot to cover. All right, so just to kind of set the stage here, the Warm Email Prospecting Program that you guys have gone through, it's really designed to teach you how to effectively reach out to prospects who don't know you. And I show you how to do that with very short, very relevant, and personalized email messages. The great way to prospect for clients, as many of you have already realized, we've gotten emails from several of you, getting results, you're enjoying the process. And by the way, if you're getting results and are enjoying what you're doing and experimenting with different ideas and approaches, we'd love to hear from you. So, you know, just shoot us an email. We always love hearing from students of these programs and what the results they're getting. And we have a coaching call coming up on the 2nd of February. So if you got any questions, please submit those. And we're going to be the instructions for that are actually in the program itself under the bonuses section. Now, there is another way I've used warm emails to land new work. And I've done it by using many of these techniques to reach out to current and even past clients, not prospects. These are people I've worked with before, people I'm currently working with. Now, you might think, so what's the point of that, right? I mean, why would my approach be any different than just emailing the client and asking them if you can somehow help them? I mean, you already have a relationship with them. Why not just send an email? Why is what I'm about to teach today so different? Well, just like you have to do email prospecting right when you're approaching people who don't know you, you also have to do email prospecting correctly with clients you've worked with before or you're currently working with. And as you're going to see in the next 45 minutes or so, these little things can make all the difference in the world. The way you approach it, the reasoning you give, how you structure it, the strategy you use could really make a huge difference. And here's the great thing about approaching current and past clients for project opportunities, right? These people already know you. They already trust you. So that obstacle is out of the way, which means you can often go from having zero work in your schedule to being book solid in just a matter of hours. And that's no exaggeration. I've actually done that myself several times using the ideas and approaches I'm going to show you here today. In fact, I've generated more than $60,000 in extra income over the last 3 years just from applying these simple techniques I'm about to teach you. Now, as I've alluded already, the key to success is in how you approach these clients. Simply asking or begging for work is not going to cut it. If anything, that's really going to make you look bad. It's going to repel even your biggest fans. So you need to instead uncover opportunities through the use of smart and ethical email techniques. And these techniques may not sound all that innovative on the surface, but I guarantee you that most of your clients don't get approached this way very often. It's, again, very subtle differences in how you do it that will give you the big results. So make sure to try them out for yourself. Give them a chance, and you'll see how powerful they can be. I will tell you this. The biggest success you're going to have is not so much in the scripts. And by the way, these scripts that I'm going to go over are all in your handout, so you don't have to write all these down. The biggest factor of success is really the thinking or the technique behind it in how you do it and how you deliver it. Not so much in the, it's got to be, you got to follow the script exactly. Okay. Now, before we get into the details, it's essential that you understand the psychology behind many of these ideas, because even the slightest deviations in how you use them can really alter their effectiveness. And notice I said the psychology behind these ideas, not necessarily these exact words that you'll see in the scripts. So let's first talk about what most freelancers do. When following up with their clients to see if maybe there are any work opportunities on the horizon, most of them resort to what I call the just checking approach. So they might send an email that says, "Hey, Bill, Pam Stevens here, checking to see if you have any projects coming up that I can help you with," right? Sounds good, sounds professional, to the point, but there are several problems with this approach. The biggest one is it implies that you have a need, and you need the client to help you out. There's no implied value in that question, in that email, and you're even not even offering a reason as to why you'd like to have the work, and that's a big mistake, because research has shown that in many cases, offering even the simplest reason for your request will dramatically increase your chances of success. There's a fascinating book out there. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with it or have even read it. The book is called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, and it was written by Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you don't already own a copy, it belongs on your bookshelf. It's fantastic. It's a fascinating book in human psychology. So in this book, Cialdini cites an experiment that was conducted by a Harvard social psychologist, Ellen Langer. And in this experiment that he writes about in the book, Langer approached people who were waiting in line to use the copy machine at a library with the following request. "Excuse me, I have 5 pages. May I use the Xerox machine?" What she found was that only 60% of those in line agreed to let her cut in line. And a lot of you probably aren't surprised by that. Now, she tried a different approach with a different group of people on a different copy machine. She repeated the question, but this time she added a reason for her request, and the script was this. She said, "Excuse me, I have 5 pages. May I use a Xerox machine? Because I'm in a rush." Now, here's the shocking part. Instead of 60%, 94% of those she asked let her skip ahead of them when she offered that reason. Now, at first glance, it might appear that the quality of the reasoning, the justification, "because I'm in a rush," made all the difference here. But she actually tried this experiment several times. And in the third group of people she tried it with, she modified the question, and she actually asked them this. "Excuse me, I have 5 pages. May I use the Xerox machine because I have to make some copies?" Pretty lame, right? Pretty lame reasoning or justification. Well, guess what? 93% of those complied, even though she had no real reason. She just said, "because X." I mean, just insert something in there. So what was the key? What was the key to getting people to comply, to agree to let her cut in line? It was the word "because." And Cialdini explains that the word "because," or even offering a reason, it's not necessarily the word, it's just offering the justification triggers a mechanical response in most of us. And that's an extremely important lesson. It's something you need to be aware of. So as I go through these techniques, keep in mind that offering justification is a huge component of successful email prospecting with current and past clients. And you'll see what I mean once we get to the examples. But I want to make sure to stress this point because most of these techniques, again, they're not going to appear that revolutionary on the surface, but it's that justification that we're adding that makes all the difference, okay? All right, so let's jump right into them. Technique number one is called going on vacation, and it's called that because it's just what it says. It's extremely effective, and in fact, I've used it several times, and it's paid for my whole vacation for my family because of the work that I've been able to land as a result. So to explain what it's all about, let me just tell you the story of how I discovered, because I kind of stumbled into this. A few years ago, I decided to take 2 weeks off in July rather than wait until early July to let my clients know about that, which is what I would typically do. Hey, a week or two before, I'm going out. Do you have any needs? Can I do anything for you before I leave? Because you're not going to be able to reach me. I decided to reach out a couple of months before in early May. I wanted to give them plenty of notice this time around. And I just wanted to see if they could look at their project queues and see if I could get started on something. Now, I got to be honest with you, I really wasn't expecting much out of this effort. The main reason I did it is that I've been working with one particular client where we've been doing a lot of steady work on a fairly significant website. And the work was coming in consistently, and I just thought, this is going to be going on for a while. I better give them a heads up, and because they kept throwing other projects, side projects to me while I was working on the website. So I want to make sure I don't catch them by surprise a week or two before I leave. Mainly I wanted to do that for them, but, selfishly, I didn't want to come back home to a huge list of I need it now type projects. I wanted to come back and kind of ease into work. I'm sure, that's what most of you guys want. Here's what happened. Two of my clients, because I ended up emailing several clients with the same notice, two of my clients emailed me back and asked if I could start on some work immediately. And it turns out that these clients had a few things they had been putting off, and rather than wait until the last minute, they figured, hey, this is, while I'm thinking about it, let me just throw this out there. We can go ahead and get started on this now. And the end result was that I landed about $5,000 worth of projects in a matter of days. And it ended up filling a gap in my schedule that I had. And again, this was May. I had this gap in my schedule. And it helped me avoid that stress of dealing with all those last-minute project requests once I came back from vacation. And, of course, as I mentioned, the extra cash came in very handily while I was away. It was actually out in Lake Tahoe, not the cheapest place in the world. So it was nice to have that extra cash. Now, you have to be careful and ethical when using this tactic. I think that goes without saying. Don't make up a story if you're not really leaving town, if you're not really going out on vacation. Use this only when you're really scheduled to be out. And the other key thing is you need to plan ahead. Calling 10 days a week before is not going to do it. That's too short a notice. So try contacting your clients 30 to 60 days before your trip, or even sooner if your typical projects take a long time to complete. So for all these, I'm going to give you one or two example email scripts that I would use. And let me give you one for this going on vacation strategy. Subject line would read, upcoming vacation. Hi, Don. Just a heads up that I'm going to be out of town on vacation from July 1st through July 16th. I know you had mentioned that you had a few projects you were planning on starting soon. If you're ready to jump on these before I leave, I'd be happy to put them on the schedule. If not, that's fine too. Just thought I'd let you know that I'll be away at that time. Please let me know either way when you get a minute. Thanks, Ed. Simple, to the point, 88 words total, if I word calculated that correctly. Here's another variation on that script, even shorter. Hi, Don. Same subject line, by the way. Hi, Don. A quick note to let you know that I'm going on vacation from 7/19 through 7/29, you know, have some availability between now and then if you have anything you'd like for me to work on. You had mentioned a work order and service brochure in the email below. Hope you're doing well. And by the way, that script was the actual email. I don't know how I still had this, but I ended up finding it. The actual email that woke me up to the effectiveness of this approach. So what I did, as you can probably tell from that script, I took an email the client had sent me several weeks before that regarding some projects he was considering, and I replied to that email. So that way, the kind of the history of what I was asking about was right there in that same email. And as I mentioned earlier, it worked out really well for both of us, for the client and for me. So that's the going out on vacation technique. Technique number two is the delayed project approach. All right, so let me ask you, have you ever had a client award you a large project or ask you to block off a few weeks in your schedule for a major assignment and then put it all on hold at the last minute? That hurts, doesn't it? It's very frustrating. You thought you had this thing, you're ready, you move things around, you're counting on this income, and now you got 5 weeks blocked off with nothing. And you think it's going to happen, but you don't know when, the client doesn't know, and that could be very frustrating. So I've found that these types of unexpected openings can give you a great reason to contact other current and past clients. And the times that this has happened to me over the last couple of years, rather than letting that availability go to waste or just, trying to scramble or figure it out and panic, what I'll do is I'll contact another client and explain the gap in my schedule and ask if I can help them complete a project in their queue. Very similar to technique number one, but notice a different type of justification. So another example, a couple of years ago, I had a longtime client award me 3 very large projects. They put them on hold just a few days before I was scheduled to start on them. I mean, this was like a really last-minute hold. So I immediately contacted 2 other clients, and, I mean, within a matter of hours, I had actually filled more than half of that gap. 2 weeks later, I filled the rest, and while I was wrapping up that newly found work, the original client came back with those three big projects ready to get going. So it actually worked out really nicely. It doesn't always work out that way. But in this case, it was awesome, and it really saved my neck. All right, so what would a warm email script for this look like? So here's an example. And again, you're reaching out to other clients, not the client who put the work on hold. Subject line would read, I'm available next week. Hi, Lisa. I was about to start working on a large project with another client, but it just got put on hold for at least a month. So basically, I have a big slot in my schedule. I know you had mentioned some case studies you need to get written soon. I'd be happy to jump on those if the timing is right for you. Just let me know either way if you don't mind. That way I won't let that opening go to waste. So notice here again that I'm providing that reason, that justification for my request. Nothing wrong in just letting them know, hey, here's what happened. Just be honest. There's nothing embarrassing about that. Also notice the conversational voice and the calm and professional and personable tone. Goes for this email script and for the other ones that I'm going to be showing you. You definitely want to avoid coming across as a desperate salesperson or just anxious, panicking. That's not going to cut it. They're really going to sense it, and they might have second thoughts. And you want to show the client what's in it for them, which in this case is to be able to get a project out of the way sooner than expected. So that's why I went ahead and reminded them about these projects that we had talked about maybe a month or two before, just to see if maybe that will trigger something. All right, technique number 3, help your clients plan ahead. So this is a different variation on this previous technique. It's based on the fact that clients are busy people. I mean, it's gotten much worse over the last few years where you got fewer people doing the work of more. The staff is desperate for help. You got people doing the job of one person doing the job of 2 or 3 and stretch very thin. And planning is an issue. That's why we tend to get, I don't know about some of you, but in my case over the last couple of years, I'm getting more and more last minute requests. I don't think that these clients are doing this maliciously. It's just they're scrambling. and things fall through the cracks, and the planning that they used to do just doesn't happen. I mean, they do their best, but, you know, many times they just realize, oh, my gosh, I forgot to do this. So now they're contacting their freelancers to see if they can come through for them. So as a freelancer, you can take some of this burden off their shoulders by helping them plan better. So one example is, if you know a client's busy season is coming up soon, reach out to them. You know, find out if they're planning to tackle, how they're planning to tackle the work, and see if you can help them with some preliminary work. You know, give them some ideas. Okay, well, you know, have you thought about maybe getting started on this, or starting to look at this, or that, or the other? Or, so let's say you're a graphic designer, and you know that one of your clients is soon going to be going through a major rebranding effort. Well, if you know you're about to have a few weeks of idle time, maybe reach out to them and discuss this availability that you have in your schedule and see if you can start working on some of those initial tasks. Or maybe you're a writer and you have a client who usually hires you to write a white paper about once every quarter. Well, now you have, you know, a couple of weeks with very little work coming up. You could mention your upcoming availability and see if you can start work on the next white paper a few weeks sooner than normal. Okay. So in my case, fall is the busy season for one of my clients. And a few years ago, I was a bit light on work coming out of the summer season. So what I did is I contacted them in August, I want to say it was late August, to see if I could get a better idea of what they're planning on and when they might need my services. And the reason for my asking was that I was trying to plan ahead for what is also my own busiest time of the year, which it really is. I tend to get really booked come September, October, November. So that inquiry actually triggered a discussion about a couple of specific projects, one of which we realized we needed to start on right away. It was a very nice $1,500 project that I probably wouldn't have seen for several weeks had I not approached them with this idea. Again, just like with these other examples, it's critical to be honest when you use these techniques. The idea is not to manufacture something that's not true or not based on honesty. Not only is that unethical, but it's also going to come across as baloney. It never fails. They're going to pick up on the fact that you're just making this up. So be honest, be sincere, and I think they're going to realize that. Which leads me to another important point. We're approaching clients with these questions and proposals, you have to sound confident and professional. Don't come across as if you're scared or you're panicking, again, as if you need some work from them in order to make that next mortgage payment. Remind yourself that you're not asking for charity here. You're just bringing good ideas and excellent service to the client, and you're helping to make their jobs easier. So let's look at an example of an email script that you could use here. And again, I mean, many different variations depending on what you do and what you're suggesting, what ideas you're bringing to them. Hi, Angela. I know fall is your busiest season. It's mine as well. So I thought I'd reach out and see if I could get a better idea of what you're planning from a content development standpoint and when you might need my help. Just trying to plan ahead so I can be there for you when you need me. So notice a couple of things. The tone, first of all. My own voice. This is one of my scripts. This is the way I would write. This is the way I would talk. I was myself. I was sincere. Short and to the point. That's key. No hidden agenda. I'm very clear about why I'm asking. You know, I'm giving that justification in very simple and straightforward without coming across as begging for work. Okay. I think this is a very sincere email, short, to the point, and, you know, I think if anything, it could get them thinking about, okay, what do we have coming up? This is actually a good idea. I'm glad he reached out to me. All right, technique number four, moving on. Take advantage of trigger events. So the trigger events idea, that's a technique from the Warm Email Prospecting Program, but I'm going to show you how to use it with clients rather than with prospects. The principles are basically the same. And just as a refresher, let me define what a trigger event is. Basically, a trigger event is a big event or a change within an organization or even in that organization's industry that creates an opportunity for you as a freelancer to either get your foot in the door, or if you're already working with that company or organization, to contact them about how you could potentially help them. So trigger event examples, and there's dozens, but some examples, positive or negative financial announcements, new funding received, new product or service announcements, expansions into new markets, new initiatives within the organization, a new manager or director in the department that you usually work with, new activity on their website or their blog, or a lack of activity on their website or blog, an upcoming event the prospect is putting together or going to be attending, layoffs, downsizing, right-sizing, pending or recently enacted legislation, and landing a very large or prestigious new client. Again, there are dozens of examples out there. It really depends on what type of events would actually trigger a potential need for your services. And as I mentioned in the Warm Email Prospecting Program, the reason trigger events are so important is that they create a certain level of need that makes that organization much more receptive to your services and what you have to say. Now, you'll need to determine, again, which types of trigger events are worth paying attention to, but hopefully that list will give you a good start. So the way I've used trigger events to contact clients and prospects about opportunities, there's actually a few of them. One recent example, and I talked about this in the program, was when the U.S. government enacted a food safety legislation that went into effect earlier this year. And it involved better tracking of food ingredients and the origin of those ingredients. So one of my clients sells software that enables food companies to do this more efficiently, this tracking of ingredients. So I approached this client about writing a series of articles on the subject, and they liked some of my ideas and actually hired me to write those pieces, which were to be placed in industry journals and publications. And that put several thousand dollars in my pocket in just a few weeks. Another great example is of someone who he's actually a graphic designer. His name is Jeremy Schultz. He specializes in design and illustration for print and web. And one of his differentiators is that he's a beta tester for Adobe, which means that he's basically part of a team of users who test new software for Adobe and provides Adobe with feedback. Now, the main advantage of being a beta tester in his case is that he gets to use Adobe's new software months in advance, which gives him that advantage, that early mover advantage. He gets to know the software, gets to see what it's all about, the strengths, what's going to make this version different. And every time they update or upgrade one of their products, he uses it as a trigger event to develop a new service package for his clients. So a couple of years ago, when Adobe announced the release of Creative Suite 5, or CS5, Jeremy began marketing two CS5 consulting packages for companies looking to upgrade. And he figured that companies considering that upgrade could benefit from his input as a creative professional who knows CS5 better than anyone in his area, because, again, he'd been using it and testing it for months. And he was right. What he found that by offering that, several clients took him up on that, and he was able to actually get other work, not just through that consulting package. That led to other things. So he, again, just kind of a creative way. I mean, I could give you dozens of examples. With trigger events, the key is to be creative, to really think about what you're hearing out there. Announcement, it doesn't have to be major media. It doesn't have to be big announcements. Many times, just conversations you're having with friends, with colleagues, you hear about a new development somewhere. You hear about somebody moving into a new position in an organization, somebody moving from company to company, that sort of thing. That's where the really good ones tend to be. All right, so let me give you the email script I use when I approach this client about the idea for these articles. Subject line, article ideas based on FSMA, FSMA. Hi, Jim. The recently passed FSMA gives us a ton of potential angles on why food and beverage companies can no longer sit on the sidelines when it comes to track and trace technology. Here's just one idea based on this article, and I included a URL to a great article that I found that I think had kind of a unique idea, a unique hook. This angle is different because it talks about traceability / supply chain info as a competitive advantage at the consumer level, rather than as a way to enable regulatory compliance or brand protection. With so many consumers right now into sustainable or green living, organics, fair trade, local foods, et cetera, this is certainly becoming a hot topic, and since the business is so competitive, retailers are using this to get an edge. Anyway, I'd love to discuss some article ideas sometime next week if you're interested. The time to get these out to the media is now while the topic is hot and top of mind. Now, notice this one is a little bit longer, and your script doesn't necessarily need to be this long, but because of what I was proposing, I just felt that I needed to provide a bit more detail just to kind of get their brain going. And again, your particular email could vary greatly depending on the specific trigger event you're using, but some of the key principles remain the same. Get to the point quickly, be relevant, and use solid trigger events only. Don't stretch it. Don't try to make something it's really not a decent trigger event and use that as an excuse to contact them with something generic. You know, it's got to be something that's going to hit home, okay? And then make sure that you tie what you do, or your particular service that you're talking about, to the event. But don't expect the client to figure that out, to put two and two together. There's too much going on in their head, so you got to make sure to connect those dots. All right, moving on. Technique number five, bring a hot idea to the table. So another way to land more work with an existing or even a dormant client is to approach them with a great idea. And I often find myself thinking about my clients' businesses, I mean, it's the strangest places and at the strangest times, when I'm walking a dog, chopping vegetables, cooking, going on a hike. And, you know, I know I should probably turn it off sometimes, but I can't help it. Sometimes these things just kind of come to me. I'm sure many of you have experienced the same thing, right? There's something about when you're relaxing or doing mundane tasks that just suddenly brings these ideas to the surface. Or maybe you're reading an article about a strategy someone else implemented that could work really well for another client. So whatever it is, and regardless of your profession, if there's one thing most clients value in a freelancer, is knowing that the freelancer truly cares about them, their job, in their business or their organization. So if you can occasionally provide fresh new ideas, new approaches, strategies, thoughts that will help them do a better job or improve their businesses or meet their objectives, you'll find yourself actually creating, if you will, new projects that didn't exist before. So at a minimum, if they don't go for your idea, at least you'll be the first person they contact for the next project. So let me give you an example of this. Back in December, just very recently, I had come across a few software companies that had written e-books on specific topics and used those e-books as their offers in email and direct mail campaigns. And it's always been common to offer white papers in these types of campaigns, but to position it as an e-book rather than as a white paper is somewhat of a new thing in business-to-business marketing, especially in the software arena. So after seeing three or four of these campaigns over the last few months, back in December, at the end of the year, I just thought of a client of mine who at one point had reached out to me about ghostwriting a business book for him. He's a divisional vice president, and he's a thought leader in his industry, and he had wanted to put many of his ideas together into a physical book, which he could then use as a lead-generating and credibility-building tool with his prospects. And the reason he and I had talked about this is he knew I had written a book myself, had it traditionally published, and we went out to dinner one night, and he picked my brain about that and the process, and he told me what he was planning on. But, you know, it never really materialized. He never brought it to fruition. So as I started seeing these e-books, I had an idea. And I said, you know, this is an industry, this enterprise software industry that I specialize in, that's just filled with white papers. White papers are still very, very effective. But why not create something a little different? Why not create an e-book? This will do two things. First of all, it will stand out as a call to action or an offer in a direct mail or email campaign. It could be a great giveaway or handout at a trade show or, you know, presentation or roadshow. And in this case, for this gentleman, it could be the stepping stone or the genesis, if you will, of his book. And the reason I think that is I really do believe that the reason he put that book project on hold is because it just seems so overwhelming. I mean, just writing this whole 300-page book, it is an overwhelming idea. So I thought, you know, and I told this to him. I said, if you could do this, it's much easier to go from this to a full-blown book than it is to go to the full-blown book. So here's the email that I sent them. I mean, this is the actual email. I changed the name. but the subject line read lead generation idea. Mike, here's a thought leadership and lead generation idea. Write a 5,000-word ebook. You can use it as a lead generation tool, a way to nurture longer-term leads, the basis for a presentation, etc. Plus, it can become the precursor for your printed book. I know you've wanted to write something for a while. Doing an ebook first could be a logical stepping stone, and it could make the process of writing the actual book easier. Plus, I know of a great writer who could help you do this. Just a thought. Hope you guys are doing well. Okay? So just so you know, that what this has led to is a discussion about this ebook and some additional white paper work. This ebook is probably going to end up being about a $9,000 project for me. Again, it's a project I ended up creating out of thin air, if you will. But not really. I mean, I just took some ideas, some thoughts. I connected all these dots, and I put it together into one big idea, and I sent it to them. And it really got them thinking. And, I mean, by the time we're done with maybe – this is probably going to lead to three projects. This could end up being $20,000 in additional income for me as a writer, content writer. Very, very powerful strategy. Not something you do every month, but, you know, two, three times a year, it could really pop into some big work. All right, technique number six, spreading the word about a new service offering. I'm really surprised at how few solo professionals actually reach out to their prospects and clients individually every time they have a new service offering. And, you know, I got to tell you, clients definitely aren't surfing your websites every month to see what's new on our end, okay? You have to tell them. And you have to tell them several times over the course of a few months for them to kind of say, you know what, maybe this would be something we could use. This is an area where Ed can help us. And the reason it requires repetition is obvious. They're already getting hit left and right with a ton of marketing messages and new information. So you have to continually remind them of the service, the new service. Now, the key to spreading the word effectively is to contact each recipient, each client personally, and position the new service in a way that's relevant to them and their business, and in a way that also sparks ideas on how they can take advantage of your expertise. And that approach is something you rarely see freelancers do, but it's absolutely the best way to market a new service. Let me explain what I mean by just giving you an example email script. Subject line, thought this would work well for you. Hi, Darcy. Not sure if I had mentioned this in our recent conversations, but I'm now writing white papers. I had an idea on a topic that could be very effective for you guys in terms of generating more and better quality leads. It has to do with the recent surge of iPad adoption in construction job sites. Anyway, you had mentioned a few months ago that you were looking for better ways to generate leads, and I think this could be a winner for you. Let me know if you'd like to discuss this idea further. So notice how personalized and relevant this message is. Also, notice how I tied it nicely to my client's challenges and objectives. And I can do that because I know this client well and I have a good relationship with him. So that allows me to craft a very personalized message that's going to hit the target. So compare that to an email or a postcard that the average freelancer sends, if they send anything at all, blasting the world with, you know, this new service that they have. Or sending out an email that says, hey, Darcy, did you know that I'm now writing white papers? Do you happen to have any needs in that area? So that's what's typically done, and that's why that's typically not effective, and that's why it takes so many of those repeated messages to get some traction. I'm not saying you don't need to have repetition with the approach I just talked about, but it usually sparks the idea and the response much faster than the generic postcard campaign, for example. All right, technique number seven, the loss leader strategy. Another idea here is to consider adding one or two loss leader services to your services roster. And by loss leader, I'm talking about entry-level services that are relatively low cost and low risk for the client. So here's how I got the idea for this. A while back, a colleague of mine was having difficulty landing enough website copywriting projects to hit her income goals. Part of the problem was that her average project size was about $7,500 plus, usually $7,500 actually to $20,000, and that's not necessarily a low-priced offering. And, of course, with high-priced offerings comes the perception of higher risk on the client's part, because if the copy or design or whatever you sell, whatever you do, if it doesn't quite cut it, they have a lot of money on the line. So in order to lower clients' perceived risk of hiring her at that higher level, she began offering $500, what she was calling website copy audits. And this audit service basically included a thorough evaluation of the website structure, the copy, the message, search engine optimization variables, usability, and I think a couple other things. And it included a full page of recommended changes or adjustments. She then detailed her findings and recommendations in a very attractive report that was easy to read and understand. Well, clients loved it. And as a result, she often got hired to implement these changes, not just do the audit, but once clients saw her recommendations and the justification for what she was suggesting, they realized there was real value here and that it was worth the investment. So the idea with this technique is to take a closer look at your services and see where you can increase the chances of getting hired by offering a smaller or less comprehensive service that will give clients a sampling of your expertise and how you work. You want to keep the fee for the service low enough for the right clients to take you up on it. So, you know, look at it as a cost of attracting good clients. You know, every time you go out there and you market and sell, there's a cost associated with that. What if you could squeeze the time and cost that it normally takes out of that process and offer a lower cost service instead? Get in the door, show them what you can do, show your recommendations, and then try to upsell a bigger service after you submit that initial loss-leading service. So how could you use warm email prospecting? Here's an example script. Subject line, low-cost way to improve your website. Hi, Deb. I know we've talked in the past about revamping your website, but I also know that cost is an issue. So I wanted to run an idea by you that I think will give you a lot of what you need for a fraction of the fee we discussed, my new website audit service. This package includes a thorough evaluation of the website structure, copy, message, search engine optimization, and usability, plus a full page of recommended changes or adjustments. You get all my detailed findings and recommendations in a very attractive report that's easy to read and understand, all for just $500. Let me know if this sounds like something you'd like to discuss further. A few key points here. Again, the purpose of this email is not to fish for interest. You're not trying to sell the client on the project. You're just trying to determine interest. Okay, if she replies with any level of interest, you can then take that conversation to the phone, which is really where you want to sell this idea, where you want to talk about it further and talk about all the details. And just like with the previous few techniques we discussed, it's important to make your message relevant and personalized. So in this case, I tied my offer to an initiative or objective I knew was important to this particular client. All right, and I actually got a bonus technique for you. I'd mentioned 7, but I have one more I'd like to share with you, number 8. I call it chasing the mover. And this technique is actually a combination of a few of the strategies that I've discussed in the warm email prospecting program and in this teleseminar. And I call it the chasing the mover technique because it involves reaching out to someone you've worked with in the past who's now moved on to another organization. The technique is actually very simple. All you have to do is look at your client contact list and start looking for names of individuals who are no longer at that organization. And then go into LinkedIn to see where they're working now. And then once you know where they are, look, research their email address using the techniques that I talk about in the program. And send them a very simple note, reminding them of what you do, how you know them, and just to see if it's worth reconnecting. So here's an example of how you could do this tastefully. Subject line, saw that you're now at Briscoe. Hi, Marcy. I just came across your name this morning and saw that you're now at Briscoe. Great to hear that. Hope all is well with you and your family. Since we worked together at ABC Company, I've worked on a number of animated illustration projects for other training companies, including Fillmore, Mary Training, Knowledge Works, and others. Here are some samples of that work. Would it make sense to reconnect to see if I can help you at Briscoe? Thanks. A few key points. You want to keep this to just the people you've actually worked with in the past and who you know were happy with your work. I mean, it goes without saying, but I need to emphasize that, right? Because otherwise it's not really going to be that effective. You want to keep it brief. Don't try to warm them up too much in the beginning. Get to the point as quickly as possible. So don't write two paragraphs about the family, what you've been up to. Try to talk about the ball game. You know, just get to the point. Also, remind them of your expertise because they may have forgotten. What is it that you helped them with, or what is it that you and this person worked on at this other organization? Maybe 2-3 years could have passed by now, and they're not gonna. They may the name, your name, might seem familiar to them, but they may not remember exactly how they know you or what you did together. And then just offer to reconnect. Also, and this is key, don't limit your outreach to the people who hired you in previous companies. Also contact others you may have worked directly with in those other projects. So, for instance, when I was logged into LinkedIn just the other day, I got one of those people you may know messages that just pops up and shows you all these different people. Hey, you're not connected to them, but based on your network, you might know these people. In many cases, I do know them. I know who they are. And one of the recommendations that I got was for a gentleman that I worked with a few years back with one of my clients. He wasn't the person who hired me for this project, but he's the one I worked with the most on a particular white paper project. That's because he was the subject matter expert who provided me with most of the information for that white paper. Anyway, I knew he had left the company, but I didn't know where he went. And when I saw that, when I saw him in LinkedIn and that list of people I may know, I realized that he was with another company. And I saw the name of the company. It's a company that I actually wouldn't mind working with someday. And I haven't contacted him yet, but I'm probably going to reach out to him sometime in the next few months with an email like the one I just showed you, because I enjoyed working with him. I know that he'll remember me if I write the email correctly, and I think I have a good chance of at least reconnecting with him and striking a conversation. So, in fact, that's actually another way you can use this particular technique. You don't necessarily have to start the process with your client contact list. You could just go into LinkedIn and go through all your contacts one by one to see who's working where and if it would make sense to contact some of these folks based on who they are and where they're working today. Also, pay attention to the suggested people who LinkedIn says you may know, because you've probably worked with them in the past, but you're not connected to them. This would be a great time to go ahead and reconnect and send them a note to see if it makes sense to do so. So those are the 8 techniques. I hope this discussion has given you some ideas on how you can use these emails to reach out to current and past clients. And as you can see, there are plenty of ways to unearth those hidden opportunities with people and organizations that already know and trust you. The key, as I've mentioned several times, is to be creative. Find creative ways to connect. Provide that justification. And focus first on adding value to the client. Client-focused ideas, when they're delivered confidently and professionally, when you go straight to the point, when you're sincere and conversational, honest and ethical, are going to go a long way to helping you land profitable work, and often when you need it most. So that's it for the material. Crystal, we have some time for questions, and I was
okay.
A few minutes late, so I'd love to take a few. We can go a little bit over if for those who want to hang out for the Q&A.
Great. I actually received a couple while you were talking, and so I'm just going to go over the instructions really quickly, and then we'll jump right into those questions. So for those of you that are on the webcast, you're about 15 seconds behind the phone, so I'm going to give you instructions first. It's really simple. All you have to do is type your question into the submission form on the webcast page on the lower left-hand side. Type it in, press submit, and I will receive your question, and I'll be able to read it out for you. For those of you that are joining us by phone, what you need to do is press *2. And what essentially that does is raises your hand, lets me know that you're wanting to talk. I will unmute you and let you know by naming out the 4 last digits of your phone number, let you go ahead and ask a question, and then once you're done, I'll mute you again just so that we don't hear any dogs barking or papers flipping or anything like that. So while we're waiting for those questions to come in, I actually had two questions on the same thing, and that was for technique number three, what would be the best subject line to use for the scenario?
All right, so let me see which one we're talking about here. Okay. Yeah, you know, I left that one blank, and I guess the intention there was, my original intention was it really depends on what you're going to do, but then I ended up writing a script anyway. All right, so this is the technique number three is helping your client plan ahead. So you know that's going to be their busiest season coming up, or you know there's a certain pattern to the work they give to you, and maybe you want to suggest getting ahead on some of that work. You know, anything around that. And the example I used was, hey, I know fall is your busiest season. It's mine as well. I just thought, you know, maybe we should plan ahead, see if there's anything we can start working on. You know, a couple of ideas off the top of my head. I never like to be with these emails. I don't want to do any kind of bait and switch or try to be sound spammy in any way. Obviously, you know this person already. So maybe planning ahead or busy season coming up, you know, something along those lines. Should we start planning for the fall, something like that? I mean, you know what I try to do, and this is just a trick that I play with myself. Sometimes when I'm writing copy like this, I tend to I put my marketing hat on. I mean, that's just, I think, something we all do, right? Oh, we're writing marketing copy, or I'm writing something that's going to help me sell my services. So you get into this mode that actually impacts you in a negative way. And I think what I try to do is forget about that and just close my eyes, take a few deep breaths, and think about what would I write if I were writing to a friend. And when you're writing to a friend, you don't think about the subject line. You just kind of start typing, right? So kind of get into that mindset and see what you come up with. And 9 times out of 10, I think what you'll find is the right subject line is going to come across. I mean, the subject line, if you're writing to a friend, I'm talking about a good friend, it's going to be natural. And the body of the email is going to be a natural extension of the subject line. You're not trying to think, okay, what's going to get them to open it, you know, which is what you're trying to do many times when you're sending out an email to a prospect. So just depending on so those are just three examples of what I would say based on the example I just gave you. But just, you know, be sincere. You just don't want to force it. Have it come naturally. Maybe you write it, you set it aside, you look at it later, fresh, and see if it sounds natural.
Okay, another question we have is from Lisa, and she's asking, what about attaching articles to the emails you send if relevant?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of the examples I used in here, I did that. And that was when I offered some ideas. Especially the article really expands on your idea and provides better context. I think it makes perfect sense. I like sending a URL to the article rather than, you know, the attached PDF, for example. Always works better. Let them click through. And as well as I prefer keeping the email short and letting the article do most of the talking. So set it up with your email and then provide the article. Let them know what it is, and just say, hey, I think, you know, you'll see what I mean when you read this. Sometimes it helps if, in fact, I've done this. I'll tell them exactly where to look if it's a longer article. I'll say, hey, look at paragraph number 3 specifically. Or if it's just one key sentence, I'll go ahead and copy and paste that sentence into the email and say, this is what really stood out here, and this is where I think we could really do something. This is the idea that I think we could expand on, and copy and paste that sentence or two from the article. And, of course, give them the full link, but that will kind of pique their interest and get them to go check it out.
Okay, another question. You've mentioned, this is from Tamsin, you've mentioned costs straight up in some emails, but not others. Any guidelines about this?
You know what? The reason I mentioned costs and the one I'm thinking about specifically is that email audit is, okay, so in that example, the cost is so low, because remember, this is a loss leader service. Compare, it was so low compared to the project that maybe we were talking about, this client and I, which is $10,000, let's say, that I didn't want them guessing. It was significantly lower, so low, in fact, that I knew that it was going to make them take notice. So I think in cases like that, it makes a lot of sense to just tell them, hey, and by the way, we're not talking about $10,000 or anywhere near that. I'm talking about $500. Okay. The other case where it may make sense is if you have a package of some sort. And I've done this with a couple of my services because the way I scope them out, they're very similar from one client to the next. So there's not a lot of variation. And I can confidently just give a flat fee of $1,500, for example. So in that case, it may make sense to say, hey, and by the way, you know, so this idea that I just gave you, I have this package where I offer, it includes 1, 2, 3, 4 for just $1,500. You know, if I think that that's going to be something that's going to make them look at it further or inquire about it, then say it. If it's something you can't really price that accurately, then don't mention it. That would be kind of my general advice.
Okay. Do we have time for one last question, Ed?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So this question is from Al, and he said, Ed, I noticed that for the most part, your warm email method does not use a lead in the classic sense. Is it that the lead is really the establishment of a relationship? And am I reading this correctly?
Let's see. So it does not. Okay. Is it that the lead is? Okay. So if I understand this correctly, I think you're saying, hey, there's no lead. Which the lead in a typical direct response letter expands on the idea from the headline. In this case, I guess if you translate it in the email prospecting, your headline would probably be your subject line. And it does expand on the idea from the subject line, but in a different way. So when most of these, and you'll see in the examples I've given you today for clients, past and current clients, as well as prospects, it's very important that the first sentence or the second sentence at the latest, you're expanding on what you said in your subject line. I see this is a very common mistake. A lot of marketers and a lot of freelancers who use email prospecting will use a subject line that will pique interest, will get the receiver to recipient to open, to click, open it up, and then they're wondering, well, wait a minute, where I thought you said this. Where is the discussion on that? And they just feel tricked. So it's very important that you continue that conversation in the first, second sentence at the latest. So in that sense, there is a lead, and your lead is your first paragraph. It's just not the traditional lead that you would see in a sales letter, in a traditional direct response sales letter or lead generating letter.
Okay, we have some more questions. Before we decide how many more we're taking, I want to remind everyone before we close that we will have the second Q&A call for the Warm Email Prospecting Program next Thursday, February 2nd. The details on that call are at the program site, so make sure you take a look. You'll be getting emails from us for reminders to submit your questions for that call. You're going to want to send them to questions@internationalfreelancersacademy.com. I just thought that was a really great time to remind everyone that you can start sending those anytime. Another question here, Ed, is what do you do if you get no response? Chase it or leave it?
You know, it's your call. It really depends on your relationship with this person. And what you know about how they respond to email. I got some clients that are horrible about keeping up with her email. And I know that it's nothing personal. I know this. I mean, I could be sending them something extremely important that has nothing to do with awarding me any kind of work, and they're just really bad about responding. They're just overwhelmed. So in those cases, I'd probably try a couple of times because you know that, okay, well, I know I'm not going to get a response the first time, but let me try two or three times. In other cases, if I know that they usually respond, but maybe, man, they're not really keen on the idea and they don't want to just reply and say, no, thanks, maybe I'll just try one more time. It really depends on it's really a gut feel thing. I usually, for most of the examples I've given you today, I usually won't go more than twice, especially with the techniques that involved, hey, I got an opening in my schedule. Because at that point, you really start to sound desperate. And again, that was a key point there. You can't sound desperate. If they sense that, forget it. You're toast. So I think you've put it out there. You let them know, hey, I'm trying to fill this gap. Now, they had replied and said, you know what, maybe, let me get back to you. That's different. That just bought you a couple other attempts, okay? But if you got zero response, I probably wouldn't go more than twice unless there's a reason why you think, you maybe need to try several times over the course of maybe 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay, I think, Ed, that's a good place for us to stop. We're, 7 after the hour. Is there anything that you wanted to summarize before I close the call off for everyone?
No, I would say that if you have any other questions, as Crystal said, we're going to be having that coaching call. We're going to do a Q&A. We're going to go as long as we need to. It's usually an hour, hour and a half. So make sure to submit them for that session, which will be on February 2nd, Thursday the 2nd. So we want to make sure we address all the questions and ask as many as you'd like. We want to make sure that you get real success from this strategy. I deeply believe in this approach to prospecting. I've heard from many of you already, getting results. It's awesome. Let us know how it's going for you. Let us know how we can help you. Submit your questions, and we're going to have a great session on the 2nd.
And just a reminder, this call, this bonus teleseminar, is available at the program site, and it's replayable right after we hang up today. So if you missed anything or want to go back for clarity, go ahead. You can click the link and you go right back into the recording. So with that out of the way, this ends today's bonus teleseminar. Thank you, everyone, for attending. And have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next week.